A potential box office killer stormed into theaters yesterday. Hostel 2, as you might guess, is the sequel to Hostel, a film that cost less than $5 million to make and grossed 10 times that in ticket sales alone. Gross may be the operative word here. Hostel and its follow-up, along with other so-called splat-pack films like Saw and The Hills Have Eyes, dwell on pain and mutilation in excruciating detail. Like it or not, these films are very popular. NPR's Netta Ulaby tries to explain why.
Here's the setup for Hostel. Callow young Americans abroad are lured to an evil youth hostel in a former Soviet republic, where they're dismembered for sport by an international cabal of thrill-seeking businessmen.
It's supposed to be real. It's supposed to be a real rush, right? It's like a real rush, right?
Hostel's victims were frat boys tempted there by pictures of local beauties. What lures the American girls of Hostel 2?
What are the spas like there?
They're the best natural hot springs in the world.
Yes, the chicks cannot resist the spas, which turn out to feature treatments that range from grisly to revolting. One already infamous scene shows a literal bloodbath enjoyed by a naked woman. Another naked woman is the faucet. Hostel 2 is one of almost 40 horror movies scheduled to hit theaters this year. That's twice as many as last year or the year before. Horror is cheap to make and can bring in buckets of money. The film Saw and its two sequels cost about $15 million combined and made $222 million domestically. Saw concerns a diabolical killer whose captives are forced to make gruesome choices.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet.
Saw and its sequels are innovative in their way, says Makita Brotman, a horror scholar educated at Oxford. She says Saw is structured like a video game.
You have to get through this sequence and find the key to this particular handcuff, and then you get out, and then you're in the next sequence, and just when you think you've managed to escape from this room, you're in a room with an even bigger minotaur or whatever.
But extreme horror is really nothing new. Brotman cites a notorious 1980 exploitation flick, Cannibal Holocaust, and Sola by the art house director Pier Paolo Pasolini. Starting back in the 1960s, Brotman says Herschel Gordon Lewis was cranking out makeshift B pictures like Blood Feast.
Exactly the same things happen. People have their legs cut off and tongues pulled out and eyeballs exploding, but they seem really ridiculous and laughable, whereas the movies now, it seems very kind of visceral and shocking. But, you know, the same things are being done to the body.
Special effects have improved, and so has market penetration. Today's extreme horror is mainstream entertainment, thanks partly to an independent studio called Lionsgate, which released Hostel and the Saw films. Tom Ortenberg runs its theatrical releasing division.
The horror genre has been very good to us. We feel like we've been very good to it.
Ortenberg describes extreme horror as a thrill ride for its core audience of male and increasingly female 18 to 24-year-olds. That gives David Poland the shudders. He edits the online industry journal Movie City News.
I don't think there's any question that it leads to a certain coarsening of culture. The question is where that ultimately leads in the spiritual lives and the lives of the people who are watching it. And it's something we do have to keep an eye on as adults, I think.
Poland was a horror fan before he watched a movie called Wolf Creek a few years ago. Since then, he's become an outspoken critic of extreme horror. Hostel 2 had limited advanced screenings, but Poland bought a bootleg DVD. He describes what he saw.
It is misogynistic, hateful, heartless, thoughtless, despicable, soulless. And I think that having seen it, that we've crossed some sort of line.
For certain horror fans, that's a ringing endorsement. Tom Ortenberg says Lionsgate is mindful of its responsibilities to the public.
We are working with the MPAA in obeying their guidelines.
Right. Bathing in blood is okay, but bathing in blood while touching one's nipple is not okay.
Apparently.
That's a reference to part of the aforementioned bloodbath scene that was cut from Hostel 2 to ensure an R rating. Such decisions now bedevil director Rob Zombie, that is his legal name, as he edits his remake of the classic slasher film Halloween. It's due out late this summer. Zombie says in his movies, violence is not gratuitous. It's the point.
It's like taking the sex out of a porno movie. I mean, it deals on such a gut level that when you start removing those gut elements, it sort of becomes a hollow experience.
People who don't want to watch his movies shouldn't, says Zombie. He says extreme horror is simple escapism for some members of an increasingly jaded society.
They go to their job every day, they have the kids, and they want to go to the movies, and they want an experience. They either want to be scared, or they want to laugh, or they want to cry, or they want, you know, they just want to be affected by something.
Something, perhaps, like the brother-sister team of psycho killers from Zombie's film The Devil's Rejects, who brutally torment a family in a hotel room. Such scenes have inspired a new classification for this kind of horror, gornography, or torture porn.
I don't like the label torture porn.
Eli Roth directed Hostel and Hostel 2. He says he's an artist inspired by the real-life horrors on the evening news.
While we were recording the score for the first Hostel, I turned on television and Hurricane Katrina was on. Bodies floating down the street, reports of people raping and shooting, and the police quit. Look around the world at what happens when you're in a society where no one's looking and no one's paying attention and you can do whatever you want. People revert immediately to this state of killing.
The idea that horror films reflect the fears of their times is familiar to horror scholars like Makita Brotman. It's obvious to her why torture is a trope at a moment when, she says, the U.S. and other countries are party to it around the world.
Because there are people disappearing and bodies are disappearing and life is cheap over there, so I think it's sort of a displacement of real horrors.
Brotman says although we hear about war atrocities, the only pictures we've seen that can compare to shocking images from other wars are the ones from Abu Ghraib.
And so there's this massive disconnect between what we're told is going on and then what we're seeing, which is nothing, nothing at all, you know, not even coffins. And so maybe these vignettes were sort of compensations for what you don't see in real life.
By vignettes, Brotman means the gory sequences in movies that compete with what you can see online. Brotman is visiting a site called LiveLeak.com. It's filled with soldiers' amateur footage from the war, bombings, wounds, and accidents, often set to music.
Ooh, a car rolled over someone into a pit.
All of this exists as a sort of cultural id, says Makita Brotman, and humanity's dark side is a fascinating place to explore. But even Brotman has limits.
I don't like anything with Robin Williams in it.
Your idea of extreme horror.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
In spite of her laughter, Brotman says extreme horror might be a way of examining the core of what makes us human. Figuratively speaking, of course. Neda Ulibi, NPR News.